Bibles, if you would, please, let's go to John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10, if you would, stand for the reading of the Word of God. We don't do this out of ritual, we do it out of respect, just to sort of, Lord willing, remind ourselves a little bit of what a holy book we have in our hand, and that really we would need to and want to hear from God out of respect for His words. John chapter number 10, verse number 1, Jesus Christ says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." Let's ask God to bless the preaching of the Word of God this morning. Brother Kramer, would you please pray? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now this passage this morning reminds me of the psalm we all know. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for a good shepherd. I'm thankful for a leader, and that's what I want to speak to you about this morning, is the leadership of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I have a good leader this morning. I'm glad that He's my shepherd. And I can go beyond just saying He's a good leader. I could say He is the perfect leader. I'm not talking about the leaders of this world. I mean, there's some decent ones out there. I enjoy studying leadership. I like to read books on leadership. I like to look at guys that have a real good leadership persona to them. And then if they write a book, man, if they've accomplished something and they know a little something about leadership and they put a few years on them, so they kind of got down the road, worked out some of the kinks of the early days, and really become a good leader. I scarf up all the books that I can on that stuff. Because to me, it's a very intriguing and a very interesting thing to see a leader. I know a lot of people want to be leaders, and it's kind of, honestly, a little bit aggravating. I've been in enough of the schools to where, you know, the Christian schools where they're always trying to create servant leaders and leaders. Everything's all about leaders, leaders. And it seems to be so overdone that everybody's wanting to be a leader. And to me, that doesn't make any sense at all. I don't think you can have a whole bunch of leaders. Everybody in class isn't a leader. And everybody's not expected to be a leader in the quotations. But I will say this, all of us have some kind of an area of leadership in our life. If you're a parent, you know you have some kind of leadership. If you're a husband, God told you you are to have some leadership. And by the way, gentlemen, it is your responsibility to lead in the spiritual things. Can I just take a quick pause? A lot of us men realize that we kind of fail in this area. Let me say something really that's going to just blow your minds. Do you know most of the time women are more spiritual than men? You know, in the Bible, in the Gospels, some of the people that were the closest to God were women. Isn't it funny that God knows that about us and still says, "Gentlemen, you're supposed to be the leaders"? We're like literally the most unlikely candidates when it comes to that more heartfelt and that softer, that more tender, that more loving peace that women have. They can really learn to love the Lord, ladies. You can learn to love the Lord on a deeper level than most guys will ever get in their life. That's not to downplay
females, by any stretch of the imagination, spiritually speaking. What I'm telling you is the Bible puts the responsibility for leadership on the man of the home. So gentlemen, in spite of ourselves, in spite of the fact that we know we got some flaws and some faults, in spite of the fact that we may not feel like we really are all that and all that wired to be a great spiritual leader, it is still your responsibility. You can't step back and shirk that responsibility and say, well, my wife's more spiritual than I. My wife was saved before I was. My wife knows more Bible than I do. My wife has more better prayer life than I have, so I'm going to step aside from my responsibility. It is still your responsibility to lead. And especially in spiritual things. I'm glad this morning that I have somebody I can look to that can help me learn how to lead. Sir. And I'm glad that, boy, even if I'm not a leader, even if that's not on my radar, it's not something I need to worry about, I'm glad I've got one that can lead me. I'll never forget my preacher saying, if a man can lead, I can follow. I believe, the older I get, the more I feel that way. Why do I have to be in charge if you can handle it? Sir. Go ahead, handle it. Do a good job. You can do a good job at it. Take it, man. What do I need? I'm busy enough. If a man can lead, I can follow. But he said this, if a man can't lead, I'll lead. And I kind of liked his mentality. I mean, to me, his leadership intrigued me. There was something about a young man that was looking for leadership, looking for direction, and saw a good leader. I mean, just you could see it in his carriage when he walked in the room. You just recognized it. There was something about it. And I know some of it is just human and carnal and personality and all that stuff. But I admire a good leader. I admire somebody that knows how to lead. But I'll tell you this much. There is no leader on this planet like the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you something else. I can't stand bad leaders. Nothing drives me crazier than when I see a manipulative leader. Nothing drives me crazier than when I see a chameleon leader. You know, like a politician. That'll just sort of fit into his environment and just make sure he kind of figures out how he's going to not stand out and how he's going to give everybody what they want and just sort of, I can't stand, that is not leadership, but there's plenty of them out there in leadership roles that are chameleons and manipulators. There's plenty of dictators out there. They'll just kind of like force everybody into their mold. They don't lead. What they really do is they get behind everybody and they push. Because they want everybody else to get the job done for them. They want everybody else. Here's the problem with them. Here's the problem with almost all of them. The problem is it's not about truly leading. It's about you fulfilling my agenda. And that's what this world is full of. Not just the world, but sadly enough, a lot of the religions and churches are full of leadership where it is, you have to fulfill my agenda. You have to do what's going to benefit me. I want you to be what I want you to be. Let me just say real quick, I'm not raising my children to compete with you or yours. Amen. That ain't leadership. That's me pushing my kids to fulfill my ego. That's not pleasing to God. I'm not trying to force my daughters to be anything and to become anything. My job is to get to know every single one of them because they're not all the same, and then to help them fulfill their full potential if they should choose to do that with their life. My job and my role in your life is not to force you into the mold of the Bible Believers Church. It's not to force you into the standards of Pastor Mike Reagan. It's not to force you to be here because I want the attendance better and I want the offerings better and I want to put an addition on and I want to get some things done. That's not leadership, and I'm glad Jesus Christ never treated me that way. So God help me to learn how to be a leader like the Lord Jesus Christ, who's there for the benefit of others. He does right because it's right to do. He doesn't do right to try to get something out of you. He's a great leader. I saw four things in this passage, and I'm, Lord willing, I really believe, Lord willing, I'm going to be brief this morning. I saw four things in this passage about the Lord's leadership that jumped out at me. It's a simple message. This isn't going to be a real deep message, but there will be a couple things in here you might not have known before. First thing I noticed about the Lord's leadership is it's infinite in power. I am glad Jesus Christ's leadership is infinite in power. You see it in verses 1 through 3. This has often been misinterpreted by many preachers and Bible teachers, but God showed me something this week and really clicked for me, so hopefully it'll help you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd
of the sheep. To him, to the shepherd, the porter openeth. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. You know, Jesus Christ is talking here in this part. He's not talking about himself. That door, I am by he that entereth in by the door. Now, in just a minute, we're going to see he does call himself the door, and that's perfectly fine. That's absolutely accurate. Jesus Christ is the door. But right there, he's not saying, I'm the door. He's saying this, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd. You know what is quite literal as I'm standing on a platform right now and there's a pulpit right behind my back? There is a literal door to heaven. We're going to see it in Job as we keep going through there. God makes doors and gates and bars, and he uses those to contain some things that go beyond the natural into the supernatural. There is a door to the actual third heaven where God Almighty dwells. And Jesus Christ is so powerful that he entered in by the door, and the porter recognized that's Jesus Christ, that's the Son of God. He died, he was buried, he rose again, he came up by his own power. That's him. Open up that door and let him back into his Father. He went out from the Father. He went back to the Father by his own power. He walked through that door right into heaven's glory. And when Lucifer tried that a few thousand years before, he failed because he's a thief and a robber. And that's what that thing is showing you right there. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I entered in by the door. Y'all got kicked out. When I left, I did my job, I fulfilled my Father's will, I went back, and when I walked back up to that door after I rose again the third day and I walked up to that door, the Holy Spirit said, that's him, God the Father said, let him in. And that door was opened up and a perfect sinless Lamb of God walked right through that door back in perfect fellowship with his Father. He opened the door. Amen. Who's trying to climb up another way? A thief and a robber. That was Lucifer. What did Lucifer say? I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Five times, right, when he fell. You know what he was trying to do? He was trying to ascend. He was trying to go take that throne from God. He was trying to exalt himself. And God the Father stopped him, put bars and doors and gates on him. Hitherto shall thy proud ways be stayed. We'll get to that in Job on Wednesday night. He blocked him off. He said, no thief, no robber's coming in here. You're sinful. You're full of yourself. You're full of your own will. You're full of your own desires. No, you're not coming in. But Jesus Christ, he fulfilled the will of the Father. I find it absolutely amazing. Look down at verses 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. Watch this. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You know what Jesus Christ said? You guys think you're putting nails in me? You guys think you're beating me with a whip? You guys think you're putting a crown of thorns on my head? I'm going to die when I'm ready to die. And I'm going to die because I choose to die. I am going to commend my spirit into the hands of the Father. How many of you can control that? I mean, somebody shoots you right straight in the head, point blank. You know what's happening to you? You're dying. Not Jesus Christ. He laid down his life on himself. And you know what he did? He ascended. You know what that means? In his own power. He came up out of that grave. He laid down his life and he took it again. He exited heaven in obedience to the Father's command and he re-entered it. How? By his own power. Jesus Christ did it. I'm talking about infinite power. That's your shepherd. I'm talking about one who can lay down his life. He can control the very details of his death in eternity past, long before he's ever born, down to the minute detail of who's going to say what and what they're going to do and how and when he's going to lay down his own life and how he's going to be buried and what he's going to do and how he's going to come up. The minute details of every piece of it, not just up to his death, but actually bringing himself up from death. I know, we're all in over our heads right now. Because that is a power you and I cannot possibly fathom. You know, you don't even have power to keep yourself alive. I don't care what face lotions you buy that market, 75 years old and looks like she's 25. I don't care how many surgeries you have. I could care less how many herbs you chew on. You might be a bunny rabbit. I mean, just chewing on herbs everywhere you go. You know what you're fighting? Something you can't control.
Can I tell you what that is? It's scary. Don't give me this over pious, over spiritual, well, this just doesn't matter. Yeah, it matters. You don't want to die. You love you. That's why you're going to leave here in a minute and be like, man, I sure hope he was good to his word and quits early because I'm hungry. I want to go take care of me. Amen. Death is a scary thought. You ever notice as folks get older, their fears go up, their anxiety goes up? Why? Because it's a valley of a shadow of death. You know what it's nice to know? It's nice to know you got a shepherd who's been all the way through that thing and will take your hand and walk you right through it as well and bring you out the other side. Why? Because he's got the power to do it. That's a nice thing to know, man. That's a comforting thing to know. He opened up heaven's door. He ascended in his own power. He overcame the adversary. Look at verse 1. He said, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. And that goes with verse 10. Look at verse 10. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, because the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. You know what Jesus Christ overcame? He overcame your adversary. You know what's funny to me? Some of you folks, you get saved, you know, and you get saved later in life, and your life's a soup sandwich. Amen. Not being mean. It's just true. You know what the Lord does? He shows up to the soup sandwich and he says, I can help you put all that together. Got a picture of these two after they were walking out. Jesse sent me his favorite picture. Jesse's holding Samantha's hand and it was all black and white, right? And he's got her hand like this and they're walking out the doors of the church and the picture was taken from up here and in his right hand was a Bible. Man, that is an awesome picture. That is a picture of the grace of God. That's a picture of a good shepherd who gave a man direction in his life, and the man says, now I know how to lead my family. 1 year later. That's a blessing, man. I'm just glad, not saying you guys were a soup sandwich. These are some good people. You were a blessing. You were a soup sandwich. Okay, you can say that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that's awesome to me to see a good shepherd step into somebody's life, and the testimonies throughout this place just keep going and going and going. And taking a mess and saying, I can put that together. You know what that mess was? That mess was the devil, folks. That mess is the world in which you live. That old slew foot, that old liar, that old serpent man, he likes to get in your head and mess with your head and get a hold of your emotions and let all the difficult things and the painful things, the inconsistencies of the brethren, all the stuff that's hurt you, and just get that stuff to rot in your soul until before long you have no compass, you have no leadership, you're just a complete mess every day of your life, not going anywhere with any power, any joy, any clarity, any direction. There's nothing you can sink your teeth into, get some traction under your wheel, and get you moving a direction in your life to accomplish something decent. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to steal your soul. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to wreck you. And Jesus Christ said, I'm a good shepherd. And I saw the mess they're in. I saw how bad the thief was, what he was doing to them. And I know how to show up and lead them and put it together for them. He's got infinite power. I'm just trying to tell you this morning, it does not matter what your struggle is. Doesn't matter what your failure is. I don't care what your background is. Hey, there's been a lot of preaching over the years that's not so bad in the proper portions. There's some good preaching that we need, but I'm telling you, sometimes the preaching has elevated specific sins to such a level that even after somebody gets saved, they feel like, yeah, I'm that horrible sinner. I committed that unbelievably heinous sin, and I know forever I'll be a second. I'm forever scarred and marked by what happened, and there's only so much God can do with me because of what I did before, what I used to be, how bad I've messed up. Hey, that ain't Jesus Christ. That's the devil trying to tell you your leader ain't good enough. I'm telling you, under the leadership of Jesus Christ, he can put anything together and take you down the road, make you better than you were before you met him. Amen. He's got infinite power. Leadership of Jesus Christ involves personal protection. Look at verse 4. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them,
and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So that's in context of verse 3. Look at this. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Now, wait a minute. He's the shepherd, and he went up into the fold. He entered in by the door, right? He went into the sheepfold. Okay? Then what does he do? He calls his sheep by name. You know what you've got hidden in here? And we wouldn't build the doctrine based on this alone, but when you study the doctrine throughout the Bible, you know what you can see very clearly in this passage? That's the rapture. Jesus Christ is calling his sheep by name. He calls us up, and then what does he do after that? He opens that door and he leads us back out, coming back to this earth for the millennial kingdom. What you got tucked in here is you've got the Lord showing you that he's going to protect you from the great tribulation. He's going to protect you. Listen, no matter what you're seeing on the news, no matter what you're hearing by some talk show religious guy, you better understand that Jesus Christ is keeping his bride. He's keeping his flock. He's keeping his sheep from that day when the devil gets let loose on this planet. The Bible says there was a fivefold I will of the devil, right? He was going to exalt himself. If you go study your Bible, there's a fivefold fall. The first one already happened. He's kicked out of the third heaven. He's blocked into outer space and down. And as time draws closer, God presses him down more, presses him down more, presses him down more, until at that last period he comes to the earth because he knows his time is short. He's got four of his I wills gone and another one's about ready to go. So he's full of anger and he comes down here trying to take it out on the world and specifically on anybody who would bear the name of Jesus Christ. That would be Israel, his chosen people, and those in the tribulation period who are trying to follow God and trying to follow the gospel that's being preached by angels flying in heaven, 144,000. Moses and Elijah, gospel spreading all over the place. And the people that will hear that gospel, the devil specifically wants them. That's why there's martyrs all throughout the trip. You know what the Bible teaches you? He took care of you. You trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's going to call you up. And then he's going to lead you back out. I've had little kids ask me the question, do we have to be afraid of the battle of Armageddon? When the sword comes out of the Lord's mouth and starts cutting off the heads of the adversaries and the blood flows in that valley up to the horse's bridle. Do we have to be afraid? You have to be afraid. You know why? You're being led by a great leader. The greatest. You know what? It's just going to be kind of fun for us. Some of you young guys that wanted to be in the military and you know you want to get all these valiant things done, that's happening, man. It's coming in the future. You're going to have that opportunity. But you know what? You got a great leader walking point. I said a great leader walking point. You know what a good leader does? He personally protects those that follow him. If there's danger out there, I'm going out ahead of you. If there's something out there that's going to get you, I'm going to walk point. Hey, I know we got to go this direction, but listen, follow me and we'll get her done. I'm pulling all the bullets. I'm pulling all the heat. I'm out in front. I'm going to lead this thing. That's Jesus Christ. You've got a great leader in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize he knows what's coming in your future and you don't? Jesus Christ knows what kind of heartbreak you have down the road, what kind of failure you have down the road, what might happen to your job. He knows all that stuff. He sees it all, and he's been there before you. He's a great leader. He'll get you through whatever's coming in your future. You just got to follow him. He's a great leader. He'll personally protect you. Notice in verse number 7, then Jesus said unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now that's pretty clear, right? So before he said, they try to go up another way, the porter opens, and this is the shepherd of the sheep. So he was entering in by a door. Now, how do I get to heaven? He just told you. I'm the door. I'm the one that can, you don't need anything to, listen, don't have anything to do with that other door. Lucifer tried to say, I don't need Jesus, I'll get that other door. I don't need God, I'll get that other door. I can raid heaven, I'm going to bust that door in. You don't need to do anything. Oh, I just hope, what are you going to say to St. Peter if you get there? Well, you know, I was faithful and I went to church and I tithed and my good works. You don't want anything to do with that door. There's another door for you. That door is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your door. You want to get into heaven, this is what it's saying. You want to get into heaven, you better know the door of the sheep. Jesus Christ is the door. You know, in order to really understand this concept, which they got what he was saying before, you got to understand how those sheepfolds worked in the Old Testament.
If the shepherd was out in a wild area, in a pasture land, he would roll up large rocks in a circle, and he himself would lay across, there's no gate, there's no door, he would lay across the entryway. So when they out in the fields, when they build these big folds for the sheep, there's just huge boulders to where two things were obvious. Number one, if any predator big enough to flip the boulders over that was coming in, it would wake up the shepherd and he could take care of it. Number two, anything else that's coming in, like a coyote or a wolf, they're going to have to walk right over that shepherd to get to those sheep. So the shepherds of that day would literally build this corral, build this fold for the sheep, drive them in there at night, and then he himself would lay sleeping across the doorway. You know what Jesus Christ said? I'm the door. Are you saved this morning? Trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Sir.
You know what you got in a dark night in a scary world? With all of the struggles you have and the difficulties you have, and I don't care what it is, anxiety, fear, depression, sin problems. I don't care what your issue is. You know what you've got? You've got a great leader. Who's saying, why don't you just sit down and relax and rest and just take your sleep, you're safe, and I'm right here, I'm the door. I'm laying here, nothing's coming after you, nothing's going to get you because you're mine. He's a good leader. I appreciate having a Savior who offers me personal protection. He is the door. And I'm telling you, the devil and anything else has to go right through Jesus Christ to get to you. Well, then why is the devil wreaking havoc with my life? Haven't you read Job? Don't you know that God allows certain things? Because in the end, God intends to use your troubles to make you better than you were before your troubles? Don't you know that God may allow certain things, but never for your destruction, always for your good, always for your benefit, always to bring you out the other side stronger than you would have been without your problems? That's the kind of leader Jesus Christ. Are you following Jesus Christ? You're not a rebellious sheep, are you? You're in the fold. You're doing the best you know how. Then you got a door. He's not just your door to heaven. That was when you got saved. He remains your door. Hey, Jesus Christ this morning is just as much my door as he was the day I trusted him as my Savior. I'm not just talking about my soul. I'm talking about my safety. I'm talking about my life. I'm talking about my family. I'm talking about my church. He's my door. And I'm glad as long as he's laying across that door. Whatever comes my way, he can lead me through it. I don't know how some people get through some of the things they get through. I know some people that lost adult kids. Just can't imagine. I literally just can't imagine. People that lost spouses. I just can't imagine. I mean, I look at what some people go through, and you look at them keep coming to church. Some of them get sweeter with time. Man, I want to be that way. I'll be honest with you this morning, I don't react that way all the time. I got this attitude: when the going gets tough, the tough get going. If I feel a tear or that choke feeling or that sore feeling in the back of your throat because you're choking them back, I got little tricks to stop it. You bite down really, really hard to the point of bleeding on your lip, bite your tongue, take deep breaths, you move your head, you change your mind. I got all kinds of things to resist any kind of like weakness. But in all reality, man, that's not necessarily the right way to handle it, by the way. In all reality, I see people that go through hard times and they grieve and their hearts break and then they walk back into church. You got no idea what kind of a testimony that is. I know some Christians still faithful to God regardless of what's going on in their life. How do they do that? I'll tell you how. They must have a good leader. They must have some kind of a door that's keeping them saying, devil, I know you want to get at him. I know you want to get at her, but you can't. Because I'm her shepherd. I'm a shepherd. And when he gets up in the morning and goes to his coffee pot and gets a cup of coffee and goes and sits down at his table and flips his Bible open or sits down in his chair and flips his Bible open, I show up there and I minister to his heart. When he starts dealing with his depression, his anxiety, his loneliness, his sin, his pains, his things that have disappointed him and broke him down, I show up and I start dealing with this. I'm a shepherd, Satan. You can't have him. I'm glad I got a leader like that.
I'm glad that come what may, Jesus Christ is there to keep me safe and to keep me out of the clutches of the devil. I'll be honest with you, one of the things I fear the very most in all my life, the very most, is to wind up backsliding on God. Oh, preacher, you'd never. You crazy. I'm as human as everybody else in this room. I'll be preaching on it tonight, Elijah. You'd never think he'd get depressed. He got depressed. He got real depressed. And he wasn't even the type. You never know what the devil might do if he got at you. I don't challenge the devil, not one little bit, not one little bit. I don't challenge him. You don't hear me talk trash about him. The Bible says in Job, put thine hand upon him, remember the battle, do no more. I know when I'm bested. And I'm humble enough to say it. But I'll tell you somebody that can't best him, that he can't best. Jesus Christ, he can't best Jesus Christ. So I know that no matter what happens, if I got Jesus Christ, he's a great leader. He's going to protect me. He's going to keep me safe. And I take great comfort in being able to just say a prayer, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, protect my church. Lord, protect my wife. Lord, protect my children. Lord, protect the people that I love. God, keep me. God, help me. Jesus Christ, I want to follow you. I want to be faithful. I want to do what's right. I don't want to quit. I don't want to someday go through whatever that midlife crisis thing is. If it's real or not, I don't know. It seems to happen to a lot of, something happens to a lot of people. They lose their mind at a certain point. I want you to walk me through all that, God. And I want to come out the other side under your protection, under your power, under your provision. I want you to lead me through these things so as time goes on, I can get better and not bitter. I can be more faithful. I can be an example. I can be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And without a good leader, it ain't going to happen. But I got a good leader. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my door. He lays there all night when it's dark and when we're not sure what's going on in the world. Let's just face it, folks, with the news and everything that's been happening this whole year. We're all in a position where we got nothing left but to just sit back and say, okay, Lord, we'll see what happens. Aren't we? How do you know your job's going to be there in 6 months? How do you know what the future of this country is? How do you know that within 12 months it's not going to be illegal for you to carry a Bible? Have you not noticed how crazy this thing is getting and how fast it's getting crazier and crazier? I'm not prophet of doom. I hope it's not going to happen, and who knows, but I'm just saying, I'm glad I got a leader to protect me. I know this about the Lord, if he ain't done with me, I ain't going anywhere. I take great comfort in that. If he's not done with me, I'm not going anywhere. You could pop up right now, pull out a 357, pull the trigger, and it will just jam. And I'll be like, well, God ain't done with me yet. And if God is done with me, why do I want to stay here? I'd rather him lead me in. Because I imagine this kind of thing in my mind. It says, he entered them by the door. I'm like, what did that door look like? You ever think that way? I mean, so he went all the way up through outer space, out on past all the galaxies and all that stuff. What does it look like, man? And then there's a door to the third heaven where God dwells? Now, wouldn't that sort of be kind of cool to see? Yes, don't you know you're going to see it? I mean, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, he's the door, you're already as good as in. So what's there really to worry about? Jesus Christ's leadership includes provision. Look at verse 9. I'm the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. You know what the Lord's going to do for you if you're saved? He's going to feed you. Do you understand that? Are you satisfied? Or is there something in you that's still not happy? I'm asking you how your spiritual life is. I'm asking you how you're doing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm asking you how you're doing in your Bible reading and in your prayer life. I'm asking you how you're doing. Are you hungry? You got some of these emotional needs that aren't being fixed?
Why don't you go to the Lord about it? He's a great leader. You know what my girls do every week? They give me and Mama a list of stuff they need. You know what I do when I see things on there that aren't Milky Ways and Snickers, and they don't even try that stuff anymore. You know what I do when I see fruits and vegetables and unsweetened vanilla almond milk and stuff that I know is good for my kids? Don't we do every week? Every week. We provide the stuff that they need for their health, for their well-being, for their future. We realize that while they're little, especially when they're little, and all this development's going on, that if we fill them full of stuff that's bad for them, we could actually do them damage. Right? So we say, okay, I'm going to give you know what the Lord does? And every once in a while, it's okay to have a cookie, or I'm not trying to say that you're the devil if you do. Please don't overreact to it. But get the point. You know what the Lord does? He sees what you need for your health, for your well-being, because he's a super good leader. And he makes sure that he always gives you what you need. You know what the problem with most sheep is? Most sheep don't get what they need. But that ain't the shepherd's fault. That's because sheep tend to be very stubborn and they tend to want to go their very own way. They always tend to want their own will. But those sheep that'll follow the shepherd, that shepherd will lead those sheep right to green pastures where they can fill up on all the good nutrition that their body needs so they can be healthy and strong and they can make it through. That shepherd will lead them right to those sweet waters, that nice, cool, crisp water that's trickling down that brook that's all clean so that they can fully hydrate all they need. Something else the sheep need besides the food and the water. Sheep need rest. This is a hard one for me. My entire life I've been just so high drive and self-motivated, push, push, push all the time. And you know what I've come to realize? There have been two times in my life now, since I started the church in the last almost 13 years, there's been two times particularly that I can remember where God literally locked me down. And I didn't like it. But you know what I've found both of those times when God locked me down? He was putting me in a position I didn't want to be in because there were some things he needed to work on me about. Amen. And if he hadn't have forced me into those shady green pastures, I'd have never realized some things about myself that I needed to realize and fix. Because he's trying to mold me into his image so that I can somehow, some way, if God will make it happen by a miracle, I can be the kind of leader Jesus Christ would have me to be. And when I get to that judgment seat of Jesus Christ, I can do it with joy and not with grief. I had to be locked down. A good leader knows how to provide. You know what, Jesus Christ, he knows how to provide you not just your food, not just your drink, but he knows how to provide you your rest. I always despise shady green pastures. That has never been my idea, laying by a brook, listening to the water trickle and laying in the shade tree and all, you know. That's never my idea. My idea is like getting out on the trail and trying to see if I can beat my last record at the hottest point in the day just to prove I could do it, you know. Muscle cramps and the whole nine yards. That's just, I'm a nut. That to me is, okay, now I can relax, you know. And the Lord's more than once put me in a place where I can't do it. I have to sit down, I have to relax, and I have to wait. You know what I've come to start to appreciate? God provides rest to his people. If I'm going to do this by the grace of God, and I hope I'm healthy and get old and don't ever have to retire until I'm no use to you anymore and you kick me out. But if I'm going to keep on going for years to come, I have to make sure that I'm balanced. I have to make sure that it's not all just work, work, work all the time, but that there's some rest. You know what a good leader knows? He knows when it's time to take a break. He knows it's time to just sit down in the shade and have a talk. He knows when it's time to take the pressure off. You got a good leader in Jesus Christ. You can relax and enjoy serving him. And the last thing I want you to see in this passage is that while you're relaxing and enjoying to serve him, don't forget to hear his voice. The instruction of Jesus Christ, he's a great leader. He knows how to instruct us. Look at verse 3. To him the porter openeth. And the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him for the sheep. For they know his voice.
A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You know what you got with Jesus Christ as a leader? You got somebody who knows how to communicate with you. Did you hear me? You have somebody who knows how to communicate with you. I don't appreciate leaders that don't communicate.
I have a problem with that because I know what I want to get done and I just kind of go get it done and just, you know, sometimes you expect people to just know what you're doing. I appreciate a leader that can clearly define for me what he wants from me so that I can do what I need to do and I know that I've made him happy. Did you hear what I just said? Because religion is all about building this mystique of faith and they try to make so much out of it. I'm not making fun of faith. I'm talking about the mystique of religion when they illy define the word. God knows how to tell you exactly what he wants from you, and if he hasn't told you anything specific, stay where you're at. Don't do anything yet. Because you have a leader who knows how to communicate with you. He knows how to speak to you. I appreciate hearing his voice. Look at this. Here's what's really interesting in verse number 4 and 5. He putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You know what will happen? Oftentimes there will be a porter in a more centralized area where multiple sheep shepherds would come and they'd bring their flock and they put their flock into the fold. And the sheep would all mingle together, multiple different flocks mingled together. And there will be a porter there kind of blocking the door. He's supposed to shut the gate behind him, and then when the shepherd comes back to get his flock, you know what the porter does? Opens the door. You know what the shepherd does? He calls the sheep. You know what the porter knows? The only sheep that are going to respond to that man are the sheep that belong to him. Ain't that bizarre? So that flock, even though it's dispersed among all those other sheep, when the shepherd comes up and calls to the sheep that are his come to him, so the porter knows all those are his because sheep won't respond to one that isn't their own shepherd. Ain't that bizarre? You see what he's trying to tell us here? He says, they know my voice. Church, listen, if you're born again, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you know his voice. You don't have to overdoubt it. You don't have to think too much into it. You know when Jesus Christ is speaking to you. You will hear. How are we going to know when it's the rapture? Oh, you're going to know, brother. You're going to hear it. You're going to know your shepherd. There ain't going to be no doubt about it. There's going to be no wiggle room. You're going to recognize that voice, and you're going to be out of here so fast. Hey, that's a blessing to know. I know his voice. I'm learning it. I'm trying to tune into it more because he's my shepherd, and he's a good leader, and he knows how to lead me. I got to learn to hear his voice.
Yes, sir.
Now, because he said, I'm come that they might have life, and that they'd have it more abundantly. There's a future tense eternal life that's already started in you, but you're still in the flesh. But there's a more abundant life in the here and now with Jesus Christ.
Yes,
sir. I am happier with the Lord than I ever would have been in life with everything life could offer. Solomon was the richest man on the planet. He outdid everybody alive today. I don't care, you're the richest and the most famous. Solomon outdid them all. For riches, women, wine, song, he had everything the world had to offer. And he was one of the most miserable people that ever existed. The abundant life has nothing to do with what you drive, where you work, what you live in. The abundant life has to do with having a good leader that can speak to your heart, that can help you, and that can guide you. And I'm telling you right now, when he comes and calls you, you're going to know it. Somebody asked my wife this week, he said, well, what's up this stuff about the rapture? She had a really good conversation. Real intelligent guy. And she said, well, if you're not saved, you don't really have to worry about that. You're not going to be in it. He said, well, don't you think you, when it's happening or whatever, you could give me a text or a call or something? She said, when the rapture happens, I'm not going to be worried about you. I'm out of here. Amen, honey. Go up and preach it. You know, you really aren't. Now's the time to worry about helping other people out. But when you hear him call your voice, you're going to know that's him.
and you're going to be gone. Look at verse number 16. He said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. You know what he is prophesying about right there? He's talking to Jews, right? He was telling them about you and I. The Jew, the Gentile, and the church of God in one body. We're all one. There's no Greek, Jew nor Greek, circumcision nor barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all, in one body. He said, I got other sheep that are coming that aren't of this fold. Jesus Christ knew that you were going to get saved before you did it. I wonder if he knows about somebody in here this morning that ain't saved. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning that needs that shepherd. Doesn't have them. I'd recommend the leadership of Jesus Christ to anybody. He knows how to lead, man. He knows how to get you through. He knows how to keep you safe. He knows how to provide for you. He knows how to give you the life. You really think you know what you want? You don't know. He knows how to give you what you need. I read this poem, and I'm going to close with this. I'm going to read this to you. It's called The Christian Seasons. Dr. Ruckman wrote this. Said, when the spring of youth is in my bones and my heart for sinful pleasure groans, I will plead with Christ my Savior who is tempted just like me. Let me not waste golden hours, Lord, I give my youth to Thee. When the summer sun is shining high and I've power to sell and buy, I give thanks to Christ my Savior for my wealth and health and breath, knowing all these things were purchased through His poverty and death. When my friends fall as the autumn leaves and my spirit sits alone and grieves, I'll remember Christ my Savior, that dear one who stands by me. How his dearest friends forsook him when he hung on Calvary's tree. When the winter winds of death have blown and my body lies as still as stone, I'll go home to Christ my Savior, that dear one who died for me. And I'll sing of death no longer, for I'll live eternally. You know what I like about that? It walks you through all the stages of life and it shows you some people are at this point, some people are at this point, some people are here, some people are gone on. And no matter where you're at in life, Jesus Christ is a real good leader. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.